Sponsored job. Redeem this offer at indeed.com/promo. That's indeed.com/promo. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Would you have had the stones to do what Nick Saban did last night? 319-366-1600.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studio.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
Think about how I try to make up for it. Fires to the end zone. Touchdown! Alabama wins! The Crimson Tide will not be denied.
ESPN on the call last night, Alabama, the fifth national championship for Nick Saban. Roll Tide, Georgia, heck of a game. Second half, far more entertaining than the first half. Overtime, what a game. Welcome in, the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn, taking you up until 7 o'clock. It's 4:06, January 9th, 2018. Great show planned for you today. We're going to be talking with Ivan Maisel, college football writer. He's going to be with us tonight at 5 o'clock. If you were with us yesterday, you know that John Walters had to move his appearance to today because the team was getting ready to travel to Lawrence, Kansas for tonight's game, which you'll hear right here on 1600 AM. Iowa State taking on the Kansas Jayhawks, leading us to our poll question at KGYMRadio.com today. You can see this one coming a mile away, couldn't you? Which team is going to win a conference game first? Iowa, Iowa State, or UNI? Those are your options. Iowa State's going to get the first crack at it tonight. UNI is on the road tomorrow. They're at Indiana State to take on Greg Lansing's Indiana State Sycamores. And then Thursday night, Iowa travels to Champaign to face Illinois. Emil's Hideaway bringing you the poll question. They're on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. Mr. College Football is here with me today.
I'm so frustrated about...
Why are you frustrated?
About our show yesterday, because we previewed the national championship.
I called it. I said Alabama was going to win. Yeah, I knew it all along.
We both said that Alabama was going to win. It didn't exactly go the script that I thought that it was going... Nah. It was going to go.
I hope Mac didn't take our advice and put any money on the game, because I said the under was a lock.
I stayed away from that one, because the last time that I gave advice on the over-under,
I should have put the asterisk on that said, unless there's overtime.
No, that usually... as soon as it went to overtime, I knew that it was that was going to be broken. But before the first semifinal game against Clemson, Nick Saban had hinted at playing Tua Tagovailoa in that game.
I'm going to let you say it all day today, okay. By the way. Anytime... His name comes up and
should
we
just
point
call him
to you.
Tua?
No.
We
you nailed
that.
It.
Tua Tagovailoa. And he didn't have to play in that game because they really didn't need much offense to get going. And I thought to myself before last night, I thought that we would see him in certain packages. He's a good thrower of the football and he can run a little bit. So I thought that he would come in and it would be somewhat of a wrinkle for Alabama to get their offense jump-started. Little did any of us know, that the true freshman from Hawaii, who I think won the Elite 11 quarterback camp, Trent Dilfer, prior to the season, was hyping this kid up to be the next great quarterback in college football. Little did we know he was going to come in and lead his team to a national championship victory, coming back from down 13 at halftime.
Would you have had the guts to do what Nick Saban did last night? 319-366-1600. It's the national championship game. It's the biggest stage. Jalen Hurt got you there. It went 21, 22 yards passing at halftime. They were not moving the ball. And Nick Saban gets the quarterbacks together and says, you know what? Tua's going to get his shot, and we're going to rotate moving forward. And there really wasn't a whole lot of rotating.
No.
Because Alabama came out in the second half, did what they needed to do, it needed to do, for the grammarians out there, my apologies. And now we're sitting here talking about a national championship game that I think probably proved to be far more entertaining, at least in the second half and overtime, than many people expected it to be going in. Now, last night, full disclosure, I darn near turned the game off at halftime.
Yes, it was incredibly boring.
SEC pillow fight. Everybody was expecting it to be, and I had said my prediction last night was something along the lines of 21-19. I wouldn't be surprised if it was 14-13. And that first half, that's the road we were going down. And then the second half was obviously far more entertaining. And then overtime, we're watching the end of the game. My son was in bed. It was my wife and I downstairs. And the end of regulation. And Alabama is lining up to kick the field goal. And I turned to my wife and I said, I would bet you any amount of money in the world that this kid misses this kick. And I know Alabama's Alabama, and they don't have much of a Achilles heel, but kicking is it. And you think of all the things that could possibly fell the mightiest program in the land, special teams.
I came up with a really, maybe it's a little bit far out there theory on why that is last night. And it's the only thing.
Because college kickers stink.
Well, that is.
Unless your name's Nate Kading or.
But I'm sure Nick Saban realizes that he needs to find a kicker and goes out and recruits kickers.
What he should do is what Kirk Ferentz, to just put four or five of them on scholarship. Yeah. Well, kickers, punters, you name it. Scholarship for you. He's like Oprah. I can say it today, by the way. Didn't want to say it yesterday. Alex was going to cattle prod me.
Can you say the other
LeVar Ball.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can
it was
say
just
both
yesterday. It was a 24-hour moratorium on mentions of Oprah and LeVar Ball. So put the cattle prod away. I know you wanted to use it. Kyle actually was the one who wanted to use it, but he wasn't here yesterday.
He wasn't here, and he's here today, which means that I don't believe he was the one from New Hampshire who won the lottery because he showed up back at work.
How many volts is the cattle prod? Tyler and I were going to do a thing with the shock collar, like that they put on dogs, and I nixed that. I wasn't going to subject myself to that. But yesterday I made it 3 hours without saying Oprah or LeVar Ball. And I was quite proud of myself. And today I've just shot myself in the foot.
So you asked the question, would you have the guts to our listeners, would you have the guts that Nick Saban had?
Stones, balls, whatever you want to say.
To make the switch at halftime to attack
everybody. Everybody's going to say yes because everybody's an armchair quarterback and everybody's perfect.
Well,
there's no way in hell that I would. Yeah, I mean, that.
The ones that don't say yes, guess how many times the name Kirk Ferentz has been brought up in this discussion.
That's the other thing watching the game last night, because if you're Iowa State or Iowa and you're a fan of either one of those teams and you're watching those two programs last night.
Yeah.
I mean, I likened it kind of to the feeling that you would probably have if you walked onto the set of an adult film. You would realize, I don't quite measure up here. And that's how I view this from a standpoint of, you know, I'm thinking, man, Ross Pirschbacher made the right move.
Absolutely.
As much as it pains Iowa fans to hear that, the Cedar Falls product, who, he's a junior, right?
Yes,
draft eligible.
Yes.
Junior because of the red shirt. What a third or fourth round grade on him,
yes.
I think I've seen.
Yes, that's kind of been the general idea.
You know, what do you want to do? And come back?
Win your third
season?
National championship in 4 years?
He could have been a 2017 Pinstripe Bowl champion, but instead, there he was last night at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, which, by the way, the roof wasn't nearly as big of a problem as everybody was expecting it to be, and people eventually were able to get into the stadium, and it was, a very good national championship game. And now, has Central Florida said anything today? I haven't looked at their Twitter or their social media, but I'm sure they were
trying to
capitalize on the situation last night.
I don't know if they said anything today, but did you see that the governor, Rick Scott, declared them national champions? I think that was yesterday.
Well,
he signed legislation and declared Central Florida national champions. So there is one state where technically they are national champions, and apparently that's Florida.
Probably a non-binding resolution would be my guess. I don't know. Do we actually have somebody from Tuscaloosa here? John from Tuscaloosa? I'm going with what Kyle tells me here. John, you want to talk about last night's game, presumably.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. How are y'all doing today?
Great.
All right. Well, I'm an SEC up here in Iowa, and once again, love the people here in Iowa, a beautiful state. This time of year is a little chilly for us Southern boys, but it's a nice place to raise a family. Get down south. The game last night, nobody has a cojones to do what Nick Saban did. It's something that you just don't see. But I think it was something that he had confidence to. I think to a spring game from all accounts from Tuscaloosa was excellent. When he came into Vandy, he did a couple of things that were pleasing, I think, to the coaching staff itself. But a change had to be made. And knowing that Coach Saban, you know, like he did against Clemson 2 years ago with the onside kick, sometimes he'll surprise you. He'll do things a little different. But he always has that kind of eye on the prize. So it was a phenomenal game. I didn't get much sleep, obviously, and it was great to see. My neighbors hate me, but that's nothing new. You know, be it an SEC game or not, but it was phenomenal.
John, real quick before we let you go, Jalen Hurts, where's he playing next year? Alabama or somewhere else?
Wow, I think he's playing in Alabama. I really do. I think they'll both have a shot at the spring practice. I don't see how you don't have Tua in the starting lineup after last night. Quite frankly, but Jalen is one of the guys, and once again, he's one of the 22 guys that got us to the national championship the last 2 years. He's not the only one. So we'll see. But no, I think he's playing for Bama next year.
All right, appreciate the phone call. Roll Tide. I wanted to ask that because if you listen to the ESPN programming today or if you watch the broadcast last night, everybody's pushing this kid out the door or he's changing positions. And it's one half of football.
Yes.
Okay? And we've seen quarterbacks put together a good half.
Garrett Gilbert at Texas when Colt McCoy went out of that national championship.
Now, I was very impressed with what I saw last night.
Absolutely.
I want to be very clear about that. But I knew that this was going to be the narrative, and it drives me nuts because why are we... This kid helped get Alabama to the national championship
game. He's 26-2 as a starter.
Exactly. And everybody is like, oh, Tua. Move him to wide receiver. He's going to be a wide receiver in the NFL anyway. Where is he going to play next year? It's not going to be at Alabama because this is Tua's team now. And I will say this. I was very impressed when they did the cutaway shots last night of showing him on the sideline. Obviously, I mean, he's probably steaming inside. I mean, most kids would be. He didn't show it.
No, he didn't.
And he looked, he appeared to me to be a hell of a teammate.
Absolutely.
Because he wants to get that national championship ring. He wants the hardware. And if he's got to have somebody else help him get it, so be it.
He's one of those guys where I followed his career, and his career and his life have been well documented. And you just kind of get that vibe from him from day one, where he's kind of that unflappable, very calm. You can tell he's probably a good leader. He's well-liked by his teammates. He's a good teammate. And the way he handled himself last night, like I said last night, and I know that it's overused, so I only try to give this label when it absolutely applies. He was the picture of class last night. Class gets completely overused. So I used it when it applied, and it applied to Jalen Hurts last night.
By the way, Tua, I'm going to call him, when he went down the 16-yard sack, and Saban is furious on the sidelines, it appeared to me as if that kid had ice water running in his veins, because he looked over, he sort of gave a look at the sidelines and was like, I got this. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And then the very next play, boom, game over. We've got the SEC bat signal lit today. We have Don in Cedar Rapids, but I'm told that he is originally from the hometown of Hammerin, Hank Aaron, Mobile, Alabama. Don, I'm assuming you want to talk about the game last night. What's up?
Well, I mean, there's no way Hurts is starting quarterback next year. He can't throw the ball. And yeah, he did go 26-2, but he went 26-2 because he's had the best defense in the country the last 2 years in a row, and he's got running backs, three or four running backs that can start for anybody in the country. That's why they went 26-2, and not because of Jalen Hurts. Yeah, he did some good things with his legs, but he can't throw the ball. And you want to win a national title, you got to throw the ball.
Okay, Don. I'm wondering if Don wasn't part Iowa fan there, because it's that we've heard that about Iowa quarterbacks before.
And
next guy in.
Did you see?
Don says there's no way that Jalen Hurts is the quarterback next year.
Did you see Lane Kiffin tweeting during last night's game?
Lane Kiffin is the gift that keeps on giving. I mean, he was second guessing Georgia and second guessing Alabama, and he's doing it at Florida Atlantic. I mean, God bless him.
Jalen Hurts threw the ball down the field much more when Lane Kiffin was the offensive coordinator than he did this year. And he had a much better year last year throwing the football than he did this year. So that led a lot of people to say, well, and I think...
Well, maybe he can transfer to FAU.
Luther Campbell brought this up. The
Two Live Crew. Miami booster.
He basically said, you need to transfer to Boca Raton where your former offensive coordinator will let you throw the ball down the field. They got something brewing down there in Owl Country. And he was trying to sell Jalen Hurts on transferring down there. But I think both of these teams, people forget about Georgia. Georgia had what a lot of people thought was going to be a first-round draft pick, and Jacob Eason is their starting quarterback. He goes down. Jake Fromm steps in. And now Jacob Eason is probably going to be a guy who's transferring. So two of the bigger-name recruits in the country, at least in some people's minds, because some people already have Jalen Hurts out the door, were both standing on the sideline last night for Georgia and Alabama, respectively.
How familiar are you with Two Live Crew?
I just know
they were very controversial, and I'm not quite sure if they were controversial when you were born. I'm not sure.
They were a little before my time.
Trying to get
yes.
the timeline here, but yes, Luther Campbell, the guy who has name pops up in Miami stories every once in a while.
He was in both 30 for 30s when it came to
yes.
the U,
which
part one and part two.
Those were not my favorites. By the way, we're going to have a little bit of Matt Nagy, the new head coach of the Chicago Bears, introductory news conference for you coming up in hour number three tonight. And I say this half jokingly and partly because I want to drive him mad, forcing him to listen to the majority of the program tonight. But I found out something about the new Bears coach that I think is going to endear him to Scott Unash, who's on the gym class before this program. And I'm leaving it at that until we get to this. It ties in with a TV show that, if you're a longtime listener of KGYM, you know that we have an affinity for this TV show. And
Cheers?
And it's not Cheers.
Seinfeld?
No. Don't ruin it.
Okay.
Don't ruin it.
I'm done. I'm guessing.
But anybody with access to Wikipedia can probably come up with the tie-in here. I don't think the TV show is on the air anymore. 319-366-1600. But you'll hear, it's fascinating as well. Now, he's not made a decision on whether or not to retain Vic Fangio as the defensive coordinator in Chicago, and that's going to be one of the big questions that he'll have moving forward. But they moved very fast on that hire and actually gave him the opportunity to push back the interview because of the loss to the Titans on Saturday, and said, we want to respect your feelings. If you're still digesting the loss and sore over it and feel as if you wouldn't be focused, we can push back the interview. And he goes, actually, let's go a little early. And so he was ready to turn. Now, whether or not you believe in what's being reported out there, that Andy Reid took over the majority of the play calling for that game because he wanted to give Matt Nagy time to prepare for the interview. And I guess if you're a Chiefs fan, I don't know whether I'd put too much stock into that or not, or how I would feel about that. But loyalty to the organization that's currently signing your paychecks first would be my approach. But I'll say this as somebody who follows that division and but is not a fan of the Bears. I'm really impressed by this guy, and I think of all the joke hires, you know, the Mark Trestmans of the world and Dave Wanstead's, and John Fox wasn't a joke of a hire. It was just a bad hire in hindsight. Of all the Bears hires, this one looks like they may actually have their guy. And I'm going to be interested to see what he does as far as building his staff and moving forward, and if they can put some playmakers around him. We'll see. We'll hear a little bit of what he had to say in Chicago earlier today. Again, Ivan Maizel is going to be with us tonight at 5 o'clock. John Walters coming up in just a few minutes. Fog Allen Fieldhouse is the scene tonight. Iowa State looking for its first Big 12 win. Can they get it against Kansas? We'll ask John that and more. 425, stepping aside for just a quick timeout. We come back. Kyle is here with us today. He's going to have your very first Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the afternoon. More on the way after this.
Because we have so many clients referring us to their friends, I think that's our biggest, best story. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. I really think it's about us building that relationship and being an extension of their business. And even if I am just talking on the phone to them, you can see that smile on their face and know that another problem is solved.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Cedar Rapids Iowa City HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss, the one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Underlings, I'm sensing some tension between us lately, so I'm proposing a peace offering.
A peace offering?
Yes, by this time tomorrow, you are all expected to give me a peace offering. Gifts, cash, compliments, whatever.
What do we get out of it?
You get to keep working here, if your peace offering is deemed worthy.
Don't work for a Dave. Find a boss you can respect. One who's looking for great and local talent at Cedar Rapids Iowa City HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
A piece of cake, a Sunday morning, ABC. Those are easy. So is earning the power rate and ATM refunds with power checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of power checking say they recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with power checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
No, text line Empty Nest is not the television show that I am referring to. And several of the texters referencing Cardale Jones.
Yep.
Another, I don't want to say one-hit wonder, but he burst onto the scene. And what do we remember him best for?
Three games, the Big Ten Championship,
I would say the quote about we ain't here to play school more than anything he did on the football field. But again, that's just me. I do want to read this on the Hertin and Stocker text line. 9284, the question we started the show with today is whether or not you would have had the guts to do what Nick Saban did last night. And I thought 9284 boils this down perfectly. I don't know that I would have had the guts personally, but they said it best this morning on the radio. If switching quarterbacks hadn't worked out, Nick Saban still wakes up in the morning as the best college coach ever. Ever. We did talk yesterday. He does have the statue.
He has
outside
the statue of and now
Bryant
six
Denny Stadium, which may be Bryant Denny Saban Stadium sometime. No, they won't change the name of the stadium, but maybe they can make the statue a little bit bigger. You said you've seen it.
I've been to it,
it's
already
larger
way
than
bigger,
life size.
It's probably double his size.
I've been in the same room as Nick Saban. It was at the Capital One Bowl when Drew Tate hit Warren Holloway for the game. And I'm kind of blown away by how, I mean, Nick Saban's not the biggest guy in the world.
No.
But
no,
that being said, I still wouldn't want to be his kicker today. He may have made him walk back to Tuscaloosa last night. 319-366-1600. That is the Hertin and Stocker text line, by the way. Let's send it over to Kyle. He's got your first Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Alabama claimed the national title last night, 26-23 over Georgia, and that means that Cedar Falls native junior Ross Piersbacher has won his second championship in 3 years as a starter on the offensive line. Bama received 57 of the 61 first-place votes in today's final poll, with the other four going to the undefeated but sixth-ranked Central Florida. Iowa State also received votes and technically finished ranked 28th, while Iowa also received 2 votes to finish the season ranked 34th. Iowa also got a commitment last night from receiver Nico Reganey. The 6-foot Connecticut native chose Iowa over offers from Brown, Princeton, and Yale, among others. Iowa and Boston College were the only Power 5 schools to offer. Fran McCaffrey had a teleconference today, and he told some members of the media that he had a conversation with the Big Ten about a play in which Cordell Pemsl took a hard elbow to the neck, and that he and the conference were, quote, disturbed by the play and the lack of a foul call. The Big Ten asked that players alert their coaches to such plays so that they can ask officials to review it. He also noted that, interestingly, a final decision on Connor McCaffrey's red shirt has still not been made. We're absolutely loaded with basketball for you tonight after the show on 1600 AM. The historic main gym will have the Cyclones, the only remaining winless team in the Big 12, trying to get their first conference victory on the road at number 12, Kansas. We've also got some high school action for you beginning at 7:30. On 106.3 FM, the South Gym will have the Linmar boys going to Class 4A top-ranked Iowa City West, and we'll also have Cedar Rapids Jefferson hosting Cedar Falls on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
It's interesting to see Central Florida pick up some votes. Normally the tradition is that the team that wins national championship is the team that you vote for. But there was
were they from the Orlando Sentinel?
Well, maybe some writers were trying to make a statement. We'll ask Ivan Maisel his thoughts when he joins us tonight at 5 o'clock. John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, joins us next.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Here's what's happening. Nick Saban said at today's press conference he doesn't plan on taking long to look back at Alabama's victory over Georgia, which gave him five national championships with the Crimson Tide. Saban also addressed QBs Tua Tagovailoa and Jalen Hurts, said they have two good quarterbacks and he hasn't made a decision who will be the starter. Tua, three TDs after replacing the struggling Hurts last night. It's unlikely both are back with Bama next season, according to ESPN college football analyst Greg McElroy.
I think Tua made a pretty big statement last night, and he's only going to get better. That's what's so unique about this young man. So I think it's his job, and it will likely be his job in the fall.
Greg McElroy on Golic and Wingo. NFL 2 days after Panthers coach Ron Rivera said he did not plan any changes to his staff. The team fired offensive coordinator Mike Shula and quarterbacks coach Ken Dorsey. NBA Warriors forward Kevin Durant has been upgraded to probable for tomorrow night's game against the Clippers. He's missed the last three games because of a strained right calf.
Experience why for nearly a century men have trusted Barbasol for a close, comfortable shave. Whether it's extra moisturizing with vitamin E or soothing aloe, all you have to do is sit back and bask in the glory of your close shave. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right? Well, with the Bring Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. Video typically streams at DVD quality. Refer to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
At Progressive, we think your handbag business with a reversible top notch is top notch. In fact, there's no other notch at the tippity top your top notch doesn't top. But even at the top, you didn't stop. You copped Progressive Business Insurance. With over 40 years of expertise helping non-stop and top notchers notch spots at the top. Now, break out your stopwatch and hopscotch to progressivecommercial.com. Because this is one opportunity you don't want to botch. Progressive Casualty Insurance and Affiliates.
When you're hiring, you want qualified candidates fast, and it can be hard to know where to find them. More than 3 million businesses use Indeed.com, the world's number one job site. Whether you need entry-level or highly skilled employees, Indeed helps you find great talent and make the right hire. Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to give their first job post premium visibility as a sponsored job. Redeem this offer at Indeed.com/promo. That's Indeed.com/promo. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
When the game is on the line, you put the ball in the hands of your best player, a veteran, one who's known to perform under pressure. At Valvoline, we believe great performance comes from hands-on expertise. That's why there's Valvoline Max Life. After 75,000 miles, use Valvoline Max Life to treat the hidden signs of aging and help extend the life of your engine. Valvoline, 150 years under the hood. Visit AutoZone now and buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Max Life and a filter for $24.99. See store for restrictions and details.
It's a big NBC Boys Basketball Contest. It's Tuesday night on 107.5 FM. Hi, this is Scott Unash. Join Phil Dunham Tuesday at 7:30 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym, as the Cedar Falls Tigers battle the Jefferson Jayhawks. The Tigers are coming off a state tournament appearance and feature one of the state's top players. The Jayhawks look for their third straight win in a signature victory. That's Boys NBC Basketball, presented by First Federal Credit Union, Cedar Falls at Jefferson. Tuesday at 7:30 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym, KGYM.
4:35, welcome back in the Todd Bromwell Camp Show, coming your way on 106.3, 107.5 FM, 1600 AM, along with Alex Kuhn, our producer Kyle Mann on the other side of the glass. Congratulations going out to former Hawkeye Mike Daniels. He's going to be making his first Pro Bowl appearance this year. He got the news today. Micah Hyde also headed to the Pro Bowl this year, so a couple former Hawkeyes, and as a couple of the Iowa beat writers pointing out on Twitter, perennial a Pro Bowler Marshall Yanda was out for the season, so could have had a lot of Hawkeye flavor at the Pro Bowl, which no one cares about at all anymore. But the players do, because they usually get financial incentives for making the Pro Bowl.
Well, all they care about is not getting hurt in that game, as we saw a couple years ago, and when nobody wanted to tackle, so it was basically a 7-on-7
always
drill.
Take the over. Yeah. In the Pro Bowl. That's always my advice to folks. Bruce Arians, the retiring Cardinals head coach, says he wouldn't be surprised if Nick Saban leaves Alabama for the New York Giants job. He's going to have to beat out Bill Belichick first, right?
And Kirk Ferentz,
right? Wasn't that yesterday's hot rumor, Belichick? Let's head to Lawrence, Kansas, where the eyes of Cyclone Nation will be tonight as Iowa State looks to break in to the Big 12 win column. They'll have a tall task ahead of them. It's not easy to win at Phog Allen Fieldhouse. Cyclones have done it before. John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Cyclones, is with us. His appearance sponsored by Craig Adamson, a True Wealth Stewardship partner. And John, I know this is a big game tonight, but I want to start with some football news. What does it mean to Matt Campbell's 2018 team that Brian Peavy is coming back? He made that announcement today.
Well, that's certainly a big deal because with Brian and DeAndre Payne, I think Iowa State will have about as good a set of corners as just about any team in the conference. So lots of experience, and DeMonte Ruth certainly picked up a lot of experience this year as well. So I think we're going to feel pretty good about that position, and Brian's a very good player, and Pro Football Focus kind of really takes a look at what guys do, and they really break down film and evaluate what they do. And a lot of times cornerbacks are hard to rate because, you know, you don't throw at them. If you're really good, teams don't throw your way very often. And that was kind of the case with Brian. And when they did throw his way, he made a lot of plays. So he's a very good player, a guy that I think does have an NFL future. He tested those waters just to see what kind of feedback he'd get. And I think he feels more comfortable coming back for another year and then trying it. So that's great news for Iowa State for sure.
And Noah, while we're talking about football, how'd you like to be the person responsible for handling the resumes to fill Lou Iene's spot on the football staff? I mean, there's got to be a lot of coaches around the country that say, go work with those running backs in Ames, sign me up.
Yeah, it's going to be a pretty good room, especially with everything that we've heard about how good Kanane Nwangu was once he got healthy again late in the year and took that red shirt, but that coaching staff just kept raving about him. So we know what David Montgomery can do. We've seen that. We know what Mike Warren can do, although he struggled a bit, under Matt Campbell. Certainly he had a great, great freshman year, and there's still that potential there. And then obviously, we saw some really good things out of Sheldon Crony, and now you have the element of the unknown with Kanane Nwangu, although he did play as a true freshman and was a terrific kick returner, and he got some carries. But I just think that's a really loaded position room. And add in Johnny Lang, who's a guy that is redshirting, that is very exciting, very quick feet. Somebody's going to have a lot to work with there, you're right. And, you know, hats off to Lou Iene for doing a tremendous job with those guys. And Iowa State had one fumble all season. It came in the final 5 minutes of their final game. Some would say it wasn't a fumble, but they tied an NCAA or an FBS record for just one fumble all season. A lot of the credit for that has to go to Lou and his emphasis on ball security. I'm happy for him to get a great opportunity at his alma mater at Northwestern. So that sounds like a great move for he and his family, but he'll be missed. He's a really good guy to have on your staff in a lot of different ways. Obviously really good with the running backs, but just a very positive, energetic guy that is a great recruiter as well. So he'll be a great addition to Pat Fitzgerald's staff.
John, transitioning to basketball, the Cyclones looking for their first Big 12 victory of the season here this evening. And after that first game against Kansas State, they've had a couple of very tough overtime losses, one to Texas, one to Oklahoma State. What has ailed them late in games, and what do they need to do to fix it?
Well, there's a few things, you know, that have kind of gone wrong at the end of games, and it wouldn't have taken much for Iowa State to be sitting here with the same record as Kansas right now at 2-1 in conference play heading into this game tonight. In fact, they led both those games late in regulation against Texas and Oklahoma State and had the opportunity to put those games away and just couldn't quite get it done. And, you know, you don't ever want to take for granted the fact that for the last 6 years, Iowa State has had those veteran guys that had been through so many battles and had made big shots and had done those things in those situations. When you look at Melvin Edgeman, George Niang, and Nasby Truelong, and Matt Thomas, and Monte Morris, I mean, the list goes on and on of guys that had been in those situations and made big plays and put games away. And so this year, with just, you know, the only returning starter being Solomon Young, you know, there was probably going to be some bumps in the road, and I think this is part of it. Hopefully these guys can figure out a way to keep competing hard like they have been. They've really played hard these last couple games, and then find a way to go ahead and finish one, because I think it's one of those things that if you can do it once, you can certainly do it several times. And getting that first one would be big. Iowa State had won 9 out of their last 10 coming into this season in games decided by 10 points or less. So they had done a great job putting away games in recent years, but it's been more of a struggle this year, which is probably not totally unexpected. But still think it's a pretty good basketball team playing in a great conference. They're going to have a ton of tremendous opportunities, including the one tonight. And hey, why not win in Allen Fieldhouse consecutive years? I was asking Eric Heft yesterday, wonder what the last team was to do that, to win back-to-back years here in this building. And he said, well, it was Iowa State. He's right. I'd kind of forgotten, you know, 99, 2000, and 2000, 2001, when the Cyclones won their back-to-back Big 12 championships, which Mo Tinsley and Cantrell Horton was the last time that any team has gone in there 2 consecutive years and won. So it'd be great if they could find a way to get it done tonight.
Let's talk about Kansas for a second, because they have 3 losses. 2 of them came at home, 1 on a neutral site, but it was in Kansas City to Washington. What has ailed this Bill Self team? Do they have a few more warts than they usually have? And is this the year that they could possibly be dethroned in the Big 12?
I think it's possible. Their biggest bugaboo has been the lack of depth, you know, and the lack of size inside. They really play one true post player that starts in Azubuike, and he's very good, okay, but they don't have kind of that power forward type, and they've got 2 of them that they think could become eligible any minute. In fact, could play tonight. If they find out they are eligible, they've been practicing, they're ready to go. Silvio DeSouza and Billy Preston, 2 really highly touted young players. DeSouza's waiting to get his eligibility after reclassifying to this year's class. He's on campus. He's been taking classes. He's been practicing, and he'd be ready to go. He'd be the more likely one to get cleared to go very, very soon. Billy Preston, McDonald's All-American out of Oak Hill, same place as Lindell Wigginton, had some issues with the NCAA that he has not been able to get resolved yet, and they're trying to get that sorted out, but there's always that possibility that he'll be ready to go at any moment. When they got those 2 guys back, I think it's really going to change their basketball team, because they'll have a much better rebounding team. Right now they're minus 11 rebounding in the Big 12. That's unheard of for Kansas. But they do shoot the ball really, really well. They make a lot of threes. And they've had some great wins, too. They beat Kentucky. You know, obviously, they won at Texas. They just won at TCU. So this isn't, you know, I think it's been dangerous in the past years to say early in the conference season that this is the year that Kansas doesn't win it. They've gotten up to some slow starts in conference plays through the years, but they've always figured it out. And they have a Hall of Fame coach that I'm sure will figure it out this year, too. But they have plenty of talent. And 3 guys averaging better than 15 a game, a preseason player of the year in Devontae Graham. Mikhailik's shooting it exceptionally well, and Gerald Vick is playing really well. So they're plenty good enough to beat any team in the country, and Iowa State's going to have to play very well to beat them.
John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Cyclones, joining us on a Tuesday. Normally you can hear him on Monday. His appearance is brought to you by Craig Adamson, a True Wealth Stewardship partner. Steve Prohm mentioned yesterday he wants to find some consistency with this team. He thinks that once this team starts playing consistent, it will get them over the hump. What do you think the key to getting that consistency will be?
Well, I think just not giving in to the situation. You know, I think keeping a real positive attitude and competing hard every night, I think those are things that will happen. I think Coach Prohm's a great guy to guide this thing through some choppy waters right now. But when you have freshmen playing big roles, as Iowa State does with Lindell Wiggins and Cameron Lard, you have some other young guys that haven't played big roles in the past that are all of a sudden thrust into much bigger roles than they're used to, there's probably going to be some of this. And so, getting Tally back, getting Hans Brace back gives them a little more experience back and a little more depth, and that has certainly helped. And I think that will help a lot going forward to have those options coming off the bench. But I think just not giving in. You know, I think that's the biggest thing for this team, because it's hard when you're losing consecutive games. You know, Iowa State hadn't had a three-game losing streak under Steve Prohm. Now they do. But just don't give in to the thing. I mean, everybody's looking at, well, they're going to be 0-4 after tonight. They're going to Allen Fieldhouse. They're not thinking that way, you know. And they're trying to figure out a way to go win this basketball game and feeling confident that they can do it. And so they've got to continue to maintain that mentality. The minute they start, you know, losing can be a really slippery pole. And so you got to be really careful not to get on there. And I think that this group of guys with this coaching staff, they'll find a way to get some breakthrough wins. And once they do, I think they're going to be just fine. But it's a process for sure, and it's a challenge. And I'm sure Coach Prohm is pulling his hair out at times, but he's got a good demeanor with these guys. And I watched him in practice today and yesterday, and they are really, really focused on this game and excited about the opportunity.
Coach Prohm basically came out and said he thinks that this team is going to be a good basketball team. And for us, we can sit here and look ahead at the schedule and say, wow, this is going to be very difficult the rest of the way. How important for them, when you talk about their mentality, how important for them is it not to look ahead and look at the rest of the schedule and kind of focus one game at a time, because you realize how many more tough tests are on the schedule and how challenging every victory is going to be?
I think it's really the only way they can survive it. You know, I mean, if you start doing that, and it's really a dangerous slope then. And, you know, you look at the start of the schedule for Iowa State, the way that the Big 12 Conference play opened, they had the opportunity to open with two home games and then go to Oklahoma State. I mean, they had three really good opportunities for wins, and they didn't win any of them, you know. And I think they felt like all three were winnable games. Now, they didn't play well at all against Kansas State and certainly didn't deserve to win that game, but they put themselves in a pretty good position in the last two, and they're competing hard. And that's the first step. I mean, you got to get yourself in a position to have a chance to put a game away at the end before you can do it. That's step one, and then you got to figure out a way to get it done. I think, you know, getting Lindell Wigginton going on a consistent basis would be really big for this team. Getting Nick Weiler back to making three-point shots, you know, he really started off shooting the three well. He struggled a bit with that in recent games. They really need those three guards to be playing well at the same time, especially tonight. I mean, if you're going to have a chance to win tonight, you really need Nick Weiler, Donovan Jackson, and Lindell Wigginton all playing at a really high level. And that's when this team is at its best, when they run, and when those three guards are really involved in the offense. And I think those are some of the things that Coach Prohm really wants to get back to. And he's talked about the importance of pushing the ball up the floor. He feels like this team is much better offensively when they don't have to run half-court stuff as often, when they can get some baskets in transition. And that was certainly the case against Oklahoma State.
John, we appreciate it as always. We know you're busy getting ready for the broadcast tonight, so thank you for accommodating us by moving to today, and we'll be back at our normal time next Monday at 4:30. Thanks a lot.
Sounds great, guys. Thanks for having me.
Again, you can hear John's call on 1600 AM tonight from Allen Fieldhouse in Kansas as the Jayhawks and Cyclones meet again. And how about that Nugget, the last team to win in back-to-back seasons in Lawrence? was Iowa State, 1999-2000, and then 2000-2001.
Have you looked at the rest of their schedule?
Iowa State's?
Yes.
Not recently.
On the road, tonight against number 12 Kansas, then against number 16 TCU, then they take on Texas on the road. These are their road games. Texas, Baylor, Texas Tech, number 8 in the country, Kansas State, West Virginia, number 2, and then Oklahoma. Their home games remaining are against Baylor, number 8 Texas Tech, Tennessee, who's in the top 25, West Virginia, Oklahoma, Kansas, TCU, and Oklahoma State.
I
know Steve Prohm says that he thinks this could be a good team. If they make market improvement, you still have to wonder, how many wins can they rack up in that slate?
Well, I mean, I don't want to pile on here, but it's tough. And it sort of leads us to the poll question today. Again, we'll reset it for you, kgymradio.com. Which team will pick up its first conference victory first? Iowa, Iowa State, or UNI? Yeah. Iowa State has the first crack tonight. UNI plays tomorrow in Terre Haute, and Iowa plays Thursday at Illinois. But there's no clear-cut answer
I'm having the same discussion about Iowa.
Feel free to go to kgymradio.com and cast your vote, but it's going to be a crapshoot. Emil's Hideaway sponsoring the poll question, 319-366-1600. I'm very excited about this. Coming up in hour number 3 of the program today, we're going to play Are You Smarter Than a Dolphin? I'm not talking about Iowa broadcaster Gary Dolphin either. Came across an article today about dolphins, and it blew me away because there's no way that I would be smart enough to pull off what the dolphins are doing. And I, for one, everybody's talking about...
Not the football team.
Everybody's talking about Oprah. Give me Dolphin 2020, because the way that these animals are operating right now, they're up to something. And that's all I'm going to say. Also, why Scott Unash could be a big fan of new Chicago Bears coach Matt Nagy, and it has nothing to do with the fact that he is leaving Scott's Kansas City Chiefs for Mark Dukes' Chicago Bears. 452, you know what? I'm going to be nice. I'm going to let the cat out of the bag on that one. When we come back, we'll get you another big board update again. Brian Peavy back in 2018 for the Cyclone football team. Big news there. Mike Daniels making his first Pro Bowl. Lots of stuff to get to before 7 o'clock today. Quick timeout and more on the way. You're listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on 106.3 and 107.5 FM 1600 AM KGYM. Back after this.
Introducing McDonald's new $1-$2-$3 menu with favorites for $1, $2, or $3, like the McChicken, the Bacon McDouble, the Happy Meal, and...
A weekend getaway with the husband and kids?
No. But the $1-$2-$3 menu could help you save for one.
Especially if we leave the kids at home.
With Grandma, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Build whatever meal you want with favorites on McDonald's new $1-$2-$3 menu. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
If you're a small business, first impressions can make all the difference. With Grasshopper, you get all the features of a professional business phone system on your mobile phone. Choose a business phone number, make calls, and send texts. Stay connected and work from anywhere with features like Wi-Fi calling and our desktop app. Set up your account in minutes with no long-term contracts and 24/7 customer support. Make your small business big. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. That's grasshopper.com/radio.
AutoZone presents the oil change. Regular oil changes protect your engine from wear and tear, helping your car roll well beyond the 100,000 mile mark. Right now, save on 5 quarts of Valvoline Advanced Synthetic or Full Synthetic High Mileage and an STP Max Life filter for $29.99 or upgrade to a K&N filter for $3 more. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right? Well, with the Bring Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. Video typically streams at DVD quality. Refer to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
4:54, welcome back, and imagine my surprise today as I was listening to new Bears head coach Matt Nagy's introductory news conference at Hallis Hall when he revealed that he is from, and of course he's revealing it, if you knew anything about him or read his bio, it's not exactly a huge secret, he is from Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, the coon is giving me a look like, what in the hell are you talking about?
I'm just waiting for the punchline.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, the setting for one of KGYM's favorite television shows of all time,
MASH?
Amish Mafia.
Oh, Amish.
MASH? Oh.
I know.
The 4077 set in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. No, I don't believe that was the case, but if you are a longtime Amish listener of the station, you will know that Scott Unash and I were big fans of the TV show Amish Mafia to the point where my fantasy football team one year was named the Amish Mafia. And we came up just short. Lebanon Levi, for years, we had a sign on the door, the old door before it was replaced, this studio protected by Lebanon Levi. And if you know what I'm talking about right now, you are just as sad as individuals such as myself who work in sports talk radio.
That was well before I got here.
There was apparently. Mary. There was Mary. There was Lebanon Levi. There was the little person. There was a lot of intrigue on that show. It was great. It's too bad that it's gone off to the TV graveyard. 4:56. I hope that was worth it. I wanted to do it before 5 o'clock because I didn't want to ruin Unash's night having him. I should have waited on that for tomorrow and conflicted with Bowling Night in America, but I got it out of the way before 5 o'clock. He can leave the building now and be free and clear for the rest of the evening. Kyle is with us. He's got another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One with over 40 locations across the corridor for your banking needs.
Alabama claimed the national title last night, 26-23 over Georgia, and that means that Cedar Falls native junior Ross Piersbacher won his second championship in 3 years as a starter along that offensive line. Bama received 57 of the 61 first-place votes in today's final poll, with the other four going to the undefeated but sixth-ranked Central Florida. Iowa State also received votes and technically finished 28th, while Iowa also received two votes to finish the season ranked 34th. Iowa also got a commitment last night from receiver Nico Reganey. The 6-foot Connecticut native chose Iowa over offers from Brown, Princeton, and Yale, among others. Iowa and Boston College were the only Power 5 schools to offer. Fran McCaffrey had a teleconference today, and he told some members of the media that he had a conversation with the Big Ten about a play in which Cordell Penzel took a hard elbow to the neck, and that he and the conference were, quote, disturbed by the play and the lack of a foul call. The Big Ten asked that players alert their coaches to such plays so they can then ask the officials to review it. He also noted that, interestingly, a final decision on Connor McCaffrey's redshirt has still not been made. We're absolutely loaded with basketball for you tonight after the show. On 1600 AM, the historic main gym will have the Cyclones, who are the only remaining winless team in the Big 12, trying to get their first conference victory on the road at number 12, Kansas. We've also got some high school action for you beginning at 7:30. On 106.3 FM, the South Gym, we'll have the Linmar boys going to Class 4A, top-ranked Iowa City West, and we'll also have Cedar Rapids Jefferson hosting Cedar Falls, and that'll be on 107.5 FM, the North
There's
Gym.
A lot to unpack there. 28th and 34th, Iowa State fans, sorry to tell you, your team's finished unranked. The poll ends at 25. I know you can do the math all you want to. I will eat my words if Connor McCaffrey doesn't redshirt. That decision has been made. They just don't want to make it public yet. But there is no way, no how that Connor McCaffrey is playing this year. Otherwise, I will print out that statement and I will literally eat my words. He's not playing this year. And that's that. I mean, why would you at this point? It's not in the best interest of him. It's not in the best interest of the team right now. Also, an intriguing story here that is, it's been all over the place. We haven't really talked about it a whole lot. But Reggie Lynch, the star of the Minnesota men's basketball team, who is suspended right now, but Richard Pitino says that he can practice with the team. He just can't play in games. Well, Minnesota has recommended him for expulsion from the university. So, interesting hill to want to die on there, Richard Pitino, but as they say, the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. ESPN.com's Ivan Maisel joins us next.